Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dr. Walter Dean, and you're listening to the show called Getting It Done. Well, you know, sometimes when we were children, we were told a lot of different things about what's in the Bible. And also, books constantly refer to the first wife of Noah as being Adam, or not, I mean, Eve. Adam's wife is Eve. However, as you get older, you do a little research and you find out things that were in the Bible, but it never was given to you properly, so you didn't know fully about that. And what I'm basically saying is there's a woman that was married to Adam before Eve. So let's give a little listen today, and we're going to be, the whole show is dedicated to this. You're going to have different people who are going to say different things, showing that I've did a lot of research, and so you're going to hear a lot of people say a lot of different things. Who is the first wife of Adam?
Name that is often run alongside those of other evil and demonic characters in the Abrahamic religions, like Satan, Beelzebub, and the devil. From movies to video games to anime, the name has been given to countless female characters that are often depicted as evil, seductive demonesses wearing skimpy bikinis, complete with devil horns, tail, and bat wings, with notable exceptions like whatever the heck this is. For the most part, the most common image is that Lilith is some kind of female demon that preys on sexual desire. Their backstories to her origins are murky, from the devil's wife to his mother or his grandmother to his daughter to a former human turned demon to the Adam of Genesis' first wife before he had Eve. We, as a society, seem to kind of vaguely understand Lilith as the name of some kind of evil female spirit associated with Satan or the devil. But at the same time, for the most part, we can hardly tell you where she came from exactly. People typically understand that the character is biblical in nature, but like, is she even in the Bible? Who is this character of Lilith, and where exactly does she come from, and why has she become associated with sexy demons, as she has in popular culture of the modern day? Well, let's tackle this mysterious mythical creature on this installment of Trey Talks About Biblical History and Textual Analysis. I'll find a better name for this. Etymology, the name. The word Lilith comes from the ancient Hebrew word originally pronounced Lilith, a singular feminine noun. There probably has a common origin with the ancient Hebrew word Layla, or Laylil, and the Arabic word Lil, which both are Semitic words for night. And this shared origin with the word for night makes a lot of sense when we talk about the things associated with Lilith in the Bible later on. But the name's association with night is not all there is. A lot of Hebrew words share a common origin with the words of neighboring Mesopotamian languages, like Sumerian and Akkadian. The word is incredibly similar and likely related to an Akkadian word, Lilitu, and a Sumerian one, Lil, short for this monstrosity of a word. In both languages / religions, the word was used to refer to a female night demon, with the latest mention of this demon going all the way back to the 3rd millennium BCE in the ancient Sumerian story Gilgamesh, Enkidu, in the Netherworld. In the story, there is a short passage where the Mesopotamian goddess Inanna plants a willow in a garden with the hopes of cutting it down and using its wood to create a throne and bed for herself. However, after 10 years of growth, she returns to the garden to find that three creatures have taken residence in the willow, a snake in the roots, a zoobird building a nest for her eggs in the canopy, and the lil creating a house or lair in the tree's trunk. The hero Gilgamesh is tasked with kicking out these squatters. He kills the snake, while the zoobird and the lil escape into the mountains and wilderness, respectively. Now, Mesopotamian folklore and traditions tell us a lot more about the Lilitu and lil. Firstly, they were understood to be supernatural creatures, as opposed to natural ones like animals. They were anthropomorphic female demons. Both were associated with the wind and storms, and having poison instead of milk. They were often referred to as the ones who have no husband. It was often claimed that these female spirits, such demons, would visit men in their sleep through the window at night, and after finding an unfortunate male victim, typically younger, unmarried men, they would seduce him and or kill him, much like the later medieval succubus demon of Europe. These demons were likely used to explain the natural phenomena of nocturnal emissions or wet dreams in the ancient world. Furthermore, they were treated somewhat as boogie women, sometimes being associated with taking young children from their mothers or causing pregnancies to fail. Much like many supernatural creatures in ancient history, Liliths and similarly named demons were used to explain natural occurrences through supernatural means. In the Bible. So, is this word Lilith even in the Bible? And if so, what does it mean exactly? Well, Lilith even outdoes the word Nephilim with its obscurity and scant use in the Bible, as the word appears only, drumroll please, once in the entire Bible. The Old Testament or Hebrew Bible book of Isaiah contains the Bible's only mention of this Lilith.
Now, some Hebrew scholars have suggested that Lilith might be vaguely referenced in other locations in the Old Testament, however she is not named, with Lilith possibly being the terror of the night. Psalm 91, verse 5, says not to fear.
Isaiah 34, for the most part, is a prophecy concerned with God's wrath and future destruction of the kingdom of Edom as a result of the Edomites sacking Jerusalem and killing Judeans under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar II. The author writes that the prophet Isaiah claims that Yahweh, the Hebrew God, will make the kingdom a desolate wasteland, killing all the nobility of the Edomites and making it like a desert, a home for the wild creatures. The Lord will stretch out over Edom a measuring line of chaos and a plumb line of destruction. No nobles will be left to proclaim a king, and all her princes will come to nothing. Her towers will be overgrown with thorns, her fortresses with thistles and briers. She will become a haunt for jackals and a burrow for ostriches. Now, Isaiah 34:14 is where we get our brief Lilith cameo. And there shall the beast of the desert make with the jackals, and the wild goat shall cry with his fellow. The Lilith also shall settle there and find herself a place of rest. There shall the peapods make her nest, and lay, and hatch, and gather under her shadow. There also shall the vultures be gathered, one with another. Okay, so this passage in Isaiah is an English translator's worst nightmare, as it possesses two words that are never used anywhere else in the entire Bible. So, there are no other verses to really compare the meanings in the context of the sentence, which can be a real problem. In this passage, Lilith is mentioned alongside other creatures of the desert, both real and mythical, that shall inhabit this desolate land of Edom once its human rulers are expelled / killed by God, and their former cities made vacant. The Lilith is said to be one of the beasts of the desert, translated as the beasts of the island in the Greek Septuagint text. Beasts that include jackals / hyenas, the wild goat, sometimes translated as the satyr, the Lilith singular, the quipus singular, and vultures, kites, or hawks. We can ascertain the overall image created for us in this text without really understanding what a Lilith or a quipus is exactly, by just looking at the context that we do understand. Edom will become a desolate wasteland of a place, though the scavengers and lowly creatures of the earth. It's just a piece of minor imagery to convey God's wrath and destruction, referencing these mythical creatures offhandedly. And for the most part, that's where we'd stop. But not us. What is a Lilith and a quipus exactly? The translation of Lilith into English in Isaiah 34:14 varies from Bible to Bible. Some translations simply translate Lilith as the night creature or the night monster. The English Standard Version translates Lilith as night bird, with a little asterisk that says identity uncertain. The King James Version translates it as the screeching owl, and some just leave it untranslated as Lilith. The quipus, which just like the word Lilith is only used once at this verse in the entire Bible, has a similar problem. Some translations leave it left untranslated as quipus, but others translate it as the great owl, while others still translate it as an arrow snake or darting snake, as in darting towards its prey. The word comes from an unused root word meaning to contract, i.e. spring forward like a snake. Perhaps more so than Lilith, the true meaning of this word is poorly understood and largely lost to history. Even the top Hebrew scholars seem to be at a loss for when it comes to understanding the quipus. The Great Dictionary of Demons and Deities, a collaboration of the works of various Hebrew scholars and professors, rather unhelpfully both translates quipus as possibly another word for serpent in Hebrew, as well as possibly an unknown type of bird. Based on this verse alone, it is unclear if either the Lilith or the quipus are mythical creatures or just strange names for known/natural animals. These translations of these two words into English are perhaps the best guesses, primarily based on the Hebrew roots of these words and the context of the verses. There isn't a lot of agreement between translators, so we might need to do a bit of sleuthing here. Textual variant funsies. Now, all of these aforementioned translations of Isaiah 34:14 and 15 are based on the ancient Hebrew Masoretic Text, or MT, created between the 7th and 10th centuries CE, itself being based off of the older, now lost, copies of the original ancient Hebrew text of the Bible created thousands of years ago. But as we talked about in previous videos, the MT, the text that most Christian Bibles are based off of, are not the only copies of these texts floating around, and we should look to these variant texts to try to infer what the true, original, now lost text might have said. There's been a lot of contention for hundreds of years around Lilith in particular. To complicate things, the Greek Septuagint, or LXX text of Isaiah 34:14, a 3rd and 2nd century copy based off of the original ancient Hebrew text, yields a slightly different translation. Translated into Greek from ancient Hebrew, it reads like this: "And the demons shall meet the homocentaurs, and they shall cry one to another. There shall the homocentaurs rest, having found for themselves a place of rest." Now, we can see in this version the translators have streamlined this verse by simply referring to all the beasts of the desert or island as homocentaurs, with Lilith instead being translated as an homocentaur, a Hellenistic mythical creature similar to a typical centaur, but with a body part human and part donkey instead of a horse. Now, things are getting even more confusing when we look at the textual variants of the LXX version of Isaiah 34:14. Some Greek translators did not follow this Onocentaurus translation and opted to translate Lilith in other ways. Akila of Sinope's Greek translation in the 2nd century CE leaves it untranslated as Lilith, while Symmachus' Greek translation in the late 2nd century CE translates the word as Lamia, a female Greek demon that was once a beautiful woman but was cursed by the gods to be disfigured with serpentine qualities and would eat children and seduce and devour men with her enormous gullet. This translation of Lilith as Lamia continues in other copies of the Bible, particularly in the Latin Vulgate in the late 4th century CE. "And a demon shall meet with monsters, and one hairy one shall cry out to the other. There Lamia has lain down and found rest for herself." The oldest text discovered of Isaiah 34:14, and probably the closest to the original ancient Hebrew text, is the Great Isaiah Scroll of the Dead Sea Scrolls, created between 125 BCE and 68 CE. This text says something pretty much identical to what the Masoretic text says, but with one crucial difference. Lilith in this version is plural, Liliths, as opposed to the singular Lilith found in the MT. For this reason, it appears in the original versions of Isaiah 34:14, it likely said Liliths plural, not Lilith. Bringing it all together, I know there was a lot of information there, and it can get a little crazy trying to keep track of the translations and meanings, but from all this information surrounding the Lilith, the image is starting to become clear here. First of all, it is apparent, based off of both early translations of Lilith into Greek, and from the word's common origin and relationship with the Lil in the Latu of Sumerian and Akkadian folklore, Lilith or Liliths in the original ancient context were very clearly understood to be magical, supernatural, or mythical creatures as opposed to a type of animal, such as an owl or a bird, as later English translators would suggest. The choice to translate Lilith as an homocentaur or a Lamia by early LXX translators reflects this view, opting for a mythical interpretation over a natural one. Secondly, Lilith has a very, very clear relationship to various demonesses in neighboring folklores and religions at the time, Lil, Lamia, and so on. The Lil, seen in the Gilgamesh text and other Mesopotamian folklore, appears similar to the Lilith of the Isaiah verses, in not just name, but in actions and in imagery. Both creatures inhabit neglected or ruined / desolate regions to make homes or lairs alongside various other creatures. The Lil in Sumerian folklore makes a home in the trunk of a willow, alongside snakes and zoo birds. A Lilith makes a home amongst the ruins of the cities of Edom, alongside jackals, vultures, satyrs, or goats, and the mysterious bird snake-like keepaws. The connection between Lilith and the whale, or Lilitu, couldn't be stronger, both linguistically and functionally. Additionally, if you notice, the Lil and Lilitu of Mesopotamia, female seductive demons that haunt young men and steal children, are remarkably similar to the Greek Lamia, to some a synonym for Lilith, who essentially does the same exact thing. Lil, Lilitu, Lamia, Lilith all seem to be just slightly different regional variations of the same demonic creature. The meaning of Lilith in its ancient context is very clear. Like Nephilim and Leviathan, Lilith is a Hebrew version of pre-existing mythical creatures, a Hebrew name for the same demon or type of demons. The ancient Jews were obviously aware of and knew of the mythical creatures from the stories of other neighboring religions and regions through cultural diffusion and sought to address them or Hebrewize them in their own sacred texts and religion. Leviathan is just another name for Lotan or Tiamat or Typhon. Nephilim is just another name for the demigods of Greece and Mesopotamia. Lilith just seems to be another example of this. And this might perhaps explain the mysterious Kupaz as well, as it might be a Hebrew version of the same serpent or zoo bird, or maybe a combination of both from the earlier Gilgamesh story of the willow tree. Lilith is a type of demon or evil spirit that haunts desolate areas at night, and likely seduced young men and stole children to the ancient Hebrews. And a lot of evidence supports this mythical demoness interpretation, and this view is pretty universally shared amongst biblical scholars, and even Christian scholars note the connection. A really more accurate translation of Lilith would be succubus into modern English. But if this meaning of the word is so clear, why then do most Bibles translate Lilith as screeching owl or night monster and so on? The answer to this lies with Christian translators of later centuries. Christian translators found the concept that Lilith had a connection to the polytheistic spirits of neighboring ancient religions uncomfortable, to say the least. As 1800s Christian Bible translator Wilhelm Gesenius puts it, when noting Lilith's similarities and connections to polytheistic demonesses, all this is utterly absurd when thus connected with the nature of something real mentioned in Scripture. It is really lamentable that anyone could connect the Word of God with such utter absurdity. Many understand the nocturnal creature spoken of to simply be the screeching owl. Essentially, he and other scholars saw the connection, but didn't like the implication it could have on his belief system. And this is something we've seen as a trend with a lot of creatures or concepts in the Hebrew Bible. Holdovers from Judaism's polytheistic days are rightly phased out by later monotheists. The reason why the translations have been so muddled over the centuries has to do with something one author has dubbed the de-demonization of the Bible, where over time Judaism or Christianity became more monotheistic. The relationship it once had with the polytheistic neighbors of its day was played down, if not attempted to be wholly removed. We've seen this with the Leviathan, we've seen this with the Nephilim. As polytheism became less cool in ancient Israel and later in Christianity, people decided to remove polytheistic references, knowingly or unknowingly, and this is exactly what happened to Lilith as well. She was turned into an owl, as opposed to the proper, looky-getting demoness she was. In summary, originally Lilith was not Adam's wife or Satan's mother, but just a type of minor desert demon, which there were likely many that would haunt deserted locations, visit men in their sleep to seduce them and steal children from their families, not unlike the succubus or Krampus or similar local night spirits. She is likely just a Hebrew version of a much older demon of neighboring polytheistic religions, and this is likely the reason why she appears as a sexy, evil seductress in pop culture. As for thousands of years, she was understood to be that very thing, and we just seem to have retained this memory. We're just continuing the legend in our books and movies and TV shows. However, if this is the original meaning of the word Lilith, how and when did she become associated with Satan and Adam and so on? Adam's first wife. Sometime around the 700s to 1000 CE, some Jews began interpreting that the Lilith was the woman from Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. With this woman being completely different from the woman Eve created later in Genesis 2:22. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. According to this interpretation, woman was created twice by God for Adam. Once out of clay at the same time as him, and second from Adam and after Adam from his rib. Folklore later goes on to say that the reason for this was that Lilith, the first woman, being created from the same clay and independent from Adam, desired her own freedom and was not subservient to him, and thus left him and the Garden of Eden, and by some accounts hooked up with the archangel Samuel, and later was transformed into the demoness we talked about prior. As a result of Lilith piecing out, God decided to create a second woman for Adam, a replacement, this time created from him, and thus would be less independent. This was Eve. This all is not something ever explicitly stated by the Bible. Lilith is never named in Genesis. However, this interpretation of Adam having a first wife and her name being Lilith is something that persists and has been adopted to a lesser extent by Christians. So, why did early Jews think this about Lilith? Well, to start, Lilith is tied even in her most ancient form with the various things associated with the Garden of Eden in the Genesis story. And to some extent, it appears like the ancient Sumerian text Gilgamesh, Enkidu, and the Netherworld could be a sort of shared origin with the Genesis tree of knowledge of good and evil narrative. Defining the tree created by a god or goddess, for one thing, is something that is in both stories. Aspects of a certain of some kind are present with Lil, and it's possibly the key pause in Isaiah. Lilith seems to have already been associated with the Garden of Eden imagery, so this might be the reason why she was lumped into the Genesis creation story by some later Jews. However, what probably did do it was a huge misinterpretation of the Genesis text. As we talked about previously, and I won't go too in-depth into this video, the Bible, especially Genesis, was written by multiple authors that were spliced together into a single book. For one thing, we know that Genesis has at least two separate authors, most easily distinguished from one another for their name for God, P, which is Elohim or El, and J, which is Yahweh. These two sources wrote two separate versions of the creation story that is in Genesis, that has been subsequently spliced together. And even casual readers will notice this splicing. Seriously, read your Bibles, folks. And this is why there are two versions of the flood story, or, most relevant to us, two versions of the creation story. And this is why the world is created two times in Genesis, because we have two authors recounting generally the same story. However, some later Jews and Christians were not aware of this and misinterpreted the text as saying God created woman two separate times, as opposed to just two versions of the same single account. In Genesis 1:27 is P's version of the story, which goes like this. So Elohim created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Adam and Eve created at the same time. While J's version is Genesis 2:22-23. And the rib that Yahweh had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now part of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Adam created, then Eve separately afterwards. We are not supposed to believe that Eve was created twice, nor was Lilith created and then Eve. All that is happening here are two conflicting origin stories provided by two different biblical authors, P and J. And this was probably understood in the Bible's ancient context. The Adam's first wife interpretation is actually based off of a simple mistake, a misinterpretation of the book of Genesis, because at the time, readers failed to understand that the text was not being written by one single author, rather by several being blended together. Isn't the Bible great, and how confusing and complicated everything can get when you look into things deep enough? Oh, it's freaking great, and I live for this crap. Oh well, now you know what Lilith is. It's a long, complicated history, just like Leviathan and Nephilim, and Behemoth. I'll have to deal with that one later. Oh well, I hope you enjoyed this installment of Trade Explainer, and hope you learned something new. I will see you next time. Thanks for watching. Make suggestions for me to check out stuff. I know I'll probably get back to prehistory stuff in a little bit. It's just been hard to write about. All right.
There you have a strange kind of presentation about a demon. Actually, that particular person not being exposed or explained, but they're mentioned in the Bible, by not by name in Genesis, but later on in Isaiah. And what happens is, because the Bible is supposed to be an extremely holy piece of material, the thought of Liz even being in the Bible caused a lot of concern. So the best way to deal with it was to turn her into something other than the first wife of Adam. We're going to continue with this whole sequence because that was one researcher's presentation. Here's another one.
All the world knows the story of Adam and Eve as told in Genesis. But few people know the story that is not found there, that of Lilith, the mysterious first wife of Adam.
The mysterious first wife of Adam? You've got to be kidding me.
After God created Adam, he said, "It is not good for man to be alone." He then created a woman from the earth, as he had created Adam himself, and called her Lilith. Two texts, excluded from the Bible, tell her story in detail. The first is called the Zohar, also known as the Book of Splendor, probably written in the 13th century. The other, called the Alphabet of Ben Sira, is a collection of writings compiled in the Middle Ages. Though both are medieval, they are said to rest on traditions dating back into antiquity. According to these traditions, Lilith was Adam's first wife, created before Eve.
At the very beginning, it wasn't just Adam who was created from the dust of the ground. Adam and his mate, his partner, Lilith, were co-created from the same dust, the same ground, at the same time, separate and equal.
Lilith herself appears to be a monstrous creature dating from prehistoric times. Carvings thought to portray her as such have been found in Egypt, Sumeria, Babylonia, and Greece.
There's reference to it in an ancient Babylonian relief sculpture that pictures a woman with bird talons flanked by owls, who is connected with an ancient goddess known as Lilitu, or Lilith. The root suggests night. The Hebrew word Laila means night. So there's an idea that she's a night demon, perhaps a blood-sucking night demon of some kind.
Lilith is mentioned in the Hebrew Bible and in some translations of Isaiah in the Christian Old Testament, which reads, "There too Lilith shall repose and find a place to rest. There shall the owl nest and lay and hatch and brood in its shadow."
To say that Lilith is mentioned in the Bible is an absolute bold-faced lie. Lilith, the name Lilith, is not found in the Bible at all. So we did a little search for Lilith, and zero Bible results for Lilith. It's an absolute lie to say that Lilith is in the Bible. It's not.
It was an apparent discrepancy in Genesis that first led ancient rabbinical scholars to expand the story of Lilith through Midrash. In it, there exist two different versions of God's creation of woman. The first suggests a simultaneous formation with that of the man. So God created man in his own image, male and female he created them. The second comes a few pages later. God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs. Then the Lord God made a woman.
There are two stories of how a woman is created in the Bible. Rabbinic tradition saw the first story as the creation of a different woman.
Sometime in antiquity, the rabbinical scholars tried to reconcile the two versions in Genesis. They wanted to know exactly who the unnamed first woman was. Eventually, they linked her with a female demon mentioned in Isaiah, and so they created a text that connected the two.
So they're trying to say that there are two different creation stories, one in Genesis 1 and the other in Genesis chapter 2. Again, this is complete nonsense because Genesis 1 tells us that man was created on the sixth day of history. The sixth day that God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Right? This was the sixth day. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So he created man and woman on the sixth day of creation. And then if we go to chapter 2, they're trying to tell us that there's a totally different creation story in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. So we get up here, I mean, thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Everything was created in 6 days, and then God rested on the seventh day. Genesis chapter 2, verse 4 says, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now we know from chapter 1 that God created man on the sixth day. So Genesis chapter 1 is giving us a summary of the entire creation. And then Genesis chapter 2 gives us more detail about what happened on the sixth day when he created man. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward of Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. This is talking about the Garden of Eden. Then if we go down, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now this isn't saying that this is when God originally created all these animals. No, he's forming every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and he's bringing it to Adam to see what he would call them. That's the whole purpose here. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh, and said thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So again, there are not two different creation stories. You have Genesis 1 that gives a summary of what happened on each of the 6 days of creation. Then you have Genesis chapter 2, which gives us much more detail about what happened on the sixth day of creation. There's not two different creation stories. Chapter 1 gives us a quick summary, and chapter 2 goes into more detail about the sixth day. It's as simple as that. They're lying when they say that Lilith was Adam's first wife. That's a lie. Her name was Eve, and we know her name from Genesis 4, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, that she conceived and bare Cain. So Eve was Adam's wife. Anyway, you just got to remember, there's two kinds of people in the world, those that believe the Bible and those that don't. So just take the Bible for what it says, and don't believe the nonsense that is put out there by the world. So let me know what you think about this in the comments below. And be sure to hit that subscribe button, and stay tuned for more videos. Thanks for watching.
Now we have another person's presentation concerning his belief of actually something that was stated in the Bible.
Overpay for Best Buy, Wikibuy, and save.
And that also what was considered to be a story of in the Bible where God created both man and woman at the same time. This particular person's presentation did not say that. He did not go on to say that. He just sort of just walked on past that for some strange reason. It's kind of difficult for most people to accept a particular concept unless they completely read it. It's true that more than one person wrote the Bible. And the very first part of the Bible, there were more than one writer about that also. So we're going to go on and we're going to hear somebody else's presentation about Lilith.
You might know Lilith as Adam's real first wife who preceded Eve, or maybe as the first vampire or a succubus. Heck, in the chilling adventures of Sabrina, Lilith is Satan's concubine disguised as a high school teacher. But where did the legend of Lilith come from, and what's her real story? If you read the first few chapters of the book of Genesis in the Bible, you'll notice that there are two accounts of the creation of human beings that are slightly different. The first, in Genesis 1:27, says God created man and woman at the same time, both in his own image. Chapter 2, however, gives the more familiar expanded version where God makes Adam out of the clay and then makes Eve from his rib. The discrepancy is likely because the Bible's original editors were trying to stitch together different versions of the creation story into one master text. Most Christians simply treat the second version as an expansion of the first. But in the tradition of rabbinic Judaism, it's widely held that these are accounts of two different women, the first being Lilith and the second being Eve. So what's Lilith's story? The earliest version of what modern readers would recognize as the Lilith legend comes from the collection of satirical proverbs known as the Alphabet of Ben-Sira, written sometime between the 8th and 11th centuries A.D. And it's a doozy because it says that Lilith and Adam broke up because they disagreed about who should be in the dominant position during intercourse. Unwilling to accept a subservient position since they were created as equals, Lilith blasphemes by shouting the unspeakable true name of God and then literally flies away. Lilith's unwillingness to accept an inferior status hints at why Lilith has become a modern-day feminist icon. The part about her killing babies, though, not so much. Here's the rest of the Ben-Sira account. After flying away, Lilith basically turns into a demon mom and begins giving birth to scores of demons every day. God tries to convince her to go back to Adam, but she refuses and instead hunts Adam's offspring, the children of mankind, in retribution. There's another tradition, though, like the one from the sect of Jewish mysticism called the Kabbalah, which posits Lilith and the dark archangel Samael were created by God as dark mirror images of Adam and Eve. Some Kabbalah texts even suggest Lilith was actually the serpent in the Garden of Eden who tempted Eve. Still, other traditions say that Lilith isn't just any demon, but rather the queen of demons. A seducer of men, this demon queen version still hunts children, but could be warded off with special amulets. In this context, the legend of Lilith generally was used to explain high child mortality rates in ancient times and teach societal norms about intercourse and the subsequent care of children. So even the evil demon version of Lilith has her good side. Before the Hebrew stories that became the Bible, though, there were earlier legends that many scholars believe formed the foundation of the Lilith mythology. A prototype for Lilith can be found in the Sumerian poem, the Epic of Gilgamesh, which itself is basically a first draft of the Bible. An artifact dating back as far as the 7th century BC seems to invoke protective magic against Lilith. Perhaps the biggest influence on the Jewish mythology, however, would be the Assyrian demon Lilith. The name Lilith seems to be the feminine version of Lilu, an Akkadian name which is related to the word for demon. Some scholars believe the name Lilith is also related to the Hebrew word for night, while others argue it comes from the Sumerian word for wind, all of which may explain why in ancient legends, Lilith was mostly seen as a winged demon of the night. The single actual reference to Lilith in the Bible appears in Isaiah 34:14 in a passage describing the destruction that will be found after God lays his judgment on the nation of Edom. It says that thorns and brambles will grow over the city and its walls will become a home for jackals and owls. It goes on to say that the city will be filled with hyenas and satyrs and, quote, there too shall Lilith repose. Different translations reinterpret Lilith as all sorts of weird things, from a donkey centaur to a screech owl. Some versions translate Lilith as Lamia, which makes sense, as in Greco-Roman mythology, Lamia was the name of a queen who turned into a child-eating monster. And some amazing versions of the Bible even straight-up translate it as vampire. That interpretation is the one that has gained the most traction in pop culture, as everyone from Marvel Comics to the 1996 movie Bordello of Blood, to the HBO series True Blood has depicted Lilith as the queen of the vampires. Demons, vampires, donkey centaurs, is there anything she isn't queen of? Despite being a figure that does not appear at all in the canonical Bible and that only arises from folklore, tradition, and foreign mythology, Lilith has enjoyed great success as a character in various forms of popular culture. She is, for example, a major player in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, where she is arguably the main antagonist, the mother of demons, and Satan's very jealous concubine. The archetype of the evil wife that Lilith represents also informed the choice of naming Fraser Crane's cold, somewhat controlling wife, and later ex-wife, Lilith Sternin. On the flip side of that portrayal, a more modern reappraisal of Lilith's character would reveal her as a woman who was punished for demanding equality, and as such, she became something of a feminist icon, giving her name to the popular 1990s all-woman touring music festival, Lilith Fair. And then there's the seminal anime series, Neon Genesis Evangelion, in which Lilith is revealed to be the name of the second angel. Lilith, likewise, can be found sprinkled all across pop culture, from books to movies to anime to video games, such as Castlevania, Final Fantasy, and Darkstalkers. Sometimes she's depicted as a vampire, sometimes a demon, sometimes a succubus, and sometimes just a domineering wife. However she's depicted, it's clear that Lilith has transcended her pseudo-biblical roots to become a major part of pop culture today. Who's on top now, Adam? Check out one of our newest videos right here. Plus, even more grunge videos about your favorite stuff are coming soon. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and hit the bell so you don't miss a single one.
Wow. Here, this particular researcher gives us much more information about a Lilith from the Bible. Then adds on so many other crazy things that actually leaves us trying to figure out where is this person coming from in terms of spreading the name Lilith. But where did the legend of Lilith come from? And what's the real story about her? You know, was there really somebody named Lilith? We're going to spend just one more period of time, and this one takes Lilith and makes her the mother of demons, or the very first woman.
Lindsey Graham spent nearly $1 million on fancy trips, private planes, golf outings, and gave himself 3 pay raises. But Lindsey refuses to extend COVID unemployment assistance. Lindsey Graham takes care of Lindsey Graham.
So then any other that has transcended across numerous cultures, and even to this day still routinely appears as a character in all sorts of popular culture. And that name is Lilith. Some of you may remember in the video discussing the succubus, Lilith was a name that appeared as an early example. The most common description of Lilith, however, is as a demon of the night, seductive and sexual in nature, but also deadly. And if that wasn't enough, she also waits until the cover of darkness to steal babies and young children. This concept can be traced all the way back to ancient Mesopotamian religion, where there once existed a figure known as Lamastu, the daughter of the sky god Anu. To some, she was an evil goddess, to others, a demon, a monster that plagued women during childbirth, one that would steal their children, suck out their blood and marrow, only to gnaw on the bones that remain. The mothers themselves were not safe from Lamastu, and neither were their unborn children, as she could make women miscarry. As one of the most terrifying demons in Mesopotamian myth, her actions were not just limited to pregnant women. She would drink the blood and eat the flesh of men. She infected one's dreams until only nightmares were left. Wherever she went, she was followed by sickness, disease, and death. With these stories of Lamastu, we can definitely see a parallel with creatures such as vampires and succubi. Today, many think of Lilith as the first wife of Adam, who rebelled and was later replaced by Eve. This idea stems from the Book of Genesis, the very first book in both the Hebrew Bible and the Old Testament. Genesis 1 details the creation of the universe as well as everything inside of it. It says that God created the heavens, the earth, vegetation, animals, and lastly mankind in his own image to rule over what he had created. What's important to note is that Genesis 1 states that he created both man and woman at the same time. Genesis 2 is very similar, discussing the creation of the universe, but it differs in regards to the creation of man and woman. Here, man was created first. Not wanting his creation to be alone, God sent man into a deep slumber and took from him a rib, which he would use to create the first woman. So essentially, you have two contradicting accounts of our creation, one right after the other. To many, the word of God is sacred, and therefore cannot contradict itself. This led to scholars explaining the differences between Genesis 1 and 2 as describing two separate events, rather than two accounts of the same event. This in turn created the need for a story that explained these differences, which would be found in what is referred to as Midrash. The explanation here is that God needed to create woman twice, once with man and then again from man. The woman in the first story isn't identified in Genesis, but would eventually be known as Lilith. The woman in the second story is who we know from the Bible as Eve. So if you've ever heard the story of Eve being created from Adam's rib, that is the story found in Genesis 2. Lilith also appears in the Talmud, and these accounts are far less ambiguous than what we see in Genesis. She appears here a total of four times, and is never referred to as Adam's wife. Where the Babylonians referred to Lilu as winged male demons, the Talmud speaks of Lilith or Lilitu as a demon with wings and the face of a woman. It says that a man sleeping in a house alone may be seized by Lilith. It said that she collected the semen of men while they slept in order to create more demon offspring, which again can be seen as one of the earliest examples of the succubus. She is then also associated with several demons, one of these being Agrath, a demon of the night who preys on children and the vulnerable. So far we can see two distinct images of Lilith, the woman and the demon. But what happened in this middle ground from when she was created all the way up until she became a demon? Stories explaining this were developed in much more detail around the Middle Ages, so from the 5th century to the 15th. The Tales of Ben-Sira and the Alphabet of Sirach are pieces of work that echo a sentiment that many scholars and scribes seem to agree upon. When Adam and Lilith were created, neither one of them wanted to submit to the other. To some, this just meant who assumed the dominant role in the relationship, whereas others took this to mean neither one wanted to assume the bottom position during sex, as it was a sign of subservience. With neither one of them willing to compromise, Lilith then fled the Garden of Eden. Out loud, she then pronounced God's real name, and in doing so, she instantly became a winged demon. When the angels pursued her in the hopes of bringing her back, she told them she had no intention of returning. As punishment for her disobedience, the three angels who found her promised to kill 100 of her demon children every day. Her purpose now was only to cause illness and sickness to the infants of others. Whenever a child was born, she would claim dominion over that child for 8 days if they were a boy, and 20 if they were a girl. With this, there came only one compromise. Whenever she saw the name of any of these three angels inscribed on a medallion or an amulet, that child would be left alone. There isn't much surviving material from the Akkadian Empire that allows for an in-depth analysis of Lamastu or the Lilitu in relation to Lilith. But what we do know from the Babylonians and Sumerians is that all of these creatures were fairly similar. And it's not a huge stretch to say that they may have influenced Lilith's story in some way. But the lack of information regarding her origin is made up for by how popular her story was. The Middle Ages marked this period like no other, with numerous tellings and interpretations. Depictions of her varied from a beautiful woman to a more sinister demon, and some even saw her as the snake in the Garden of Eden who tempted Eve with the forbidden fruit, as one final act of revenge. As time went on, there were folk tales that saw Lilith as a demon queen, and thus related to Asmodeus, who many consider to be the king of demons. Asmodeus being mentioned in the Book of Tobit, the Talmud, and numerous other scriptures means it's not really a huge surprise that Lilith and he were paired together as the mother and father of demons. Together they had thousands of demon children, and traveled from village to village causing chaos and destruction. In some stories she's also closely linked with Samael, who himself is a rather odd character. Some teachings in the Kabbalah go as far as to say that Lilith was Samael's consort, and that it was not God who created her, but instead Samael who made himself a demon wife, who filled the role later intended for Eve. He also gave her a host of demonic children, one of these being Asmodeus, who we mentioned earlier. Throughout all these stories, there are three main sides to Lilith. The woman who rebelled against God and Adam, which is the side we see the least of, the seductive demoness who plagued the dreams of men to grow her demonic family, and lastly, the monster who preyed upon pregnant women devouring their children.
Whatever happened to losing
people corrupted by politics?
This is an embarrassment.
What happened to doing the right thing, representing our state?
I'm Jamie Harris, and I'm running for the U.S. Senate because we need leaders who care more about the next generation than the next election.
When I first read about Lilith, I immediately drew some parallels between her and some of the creatures we see in Greek mythology. When we think of an odious and foul-smelling bird-like creature, the harpies certainly come to mind, but so do the sirens, who have a more seductive nature. However, the character who closest resembles and embodies these three sides of Lilith is Lamia. These three stages are almost mirrored in her story. She begins as a regular woman who falls victim to lust, and as a result, her children are killed as a punishment. She's then transformed into a monster. In some tellings, Lamia and the Lamiae are vampiric demons who feed off the blood of young, handsome men. There are also versions of this story where instead of young men, she hunts for children, forever seeking revenge for those she had lost. Much like Lilith, Lamia was intended to be a cautionary tale, a boogeyman-like figure, although her story is much less about rebellion and more so the dangers of lust. Honestly, stories of Lilith are rather confusing. It's only really because of stories from Midrash and other scholars that we can even draw a link between the demon and the wife of Adam. However, this hasn't really harmed her representation in popular culture. There are a few references that I remember. But looking into it further, I was definitely surprised that the number of books, movies, games, and TV shows that her name actually appears in. Fans of Chronicles of Narnia may or may not know that the White Witch is actually a descendant of the first wife of Adam, which in this case is of course Lilith. In the TV show True Blood and the movie 30 Days of Night, Lilith appears as the name of a vampire. And this is obviously quite a common trend. When she does appear, it's either as a succubus or a vampire. Old school supernatural fans may remember her as the first human to be tempted by Lucifer into becoming a demon. Speaking of Lucifer, in that show she's also referred to as the mother of demons. One that I missed that actually has quite an interesting take on Lilith's story is the fifth element, which sounds quite weird to say considering it's a futuristic sci-fi. Lilith is portrayed in a similar way to Adam's first wife, and her speaking ancient Aramaic now makes more sense than when I watched the movie as a kid. Instead of destroying humanity, she actually ends up saving it, turning the original story on its head. When it comes to video games, if you've played anything remotely popular, it's likely you've seen her name somewhere, as it appears in Final Fantasy, Borderlands, Diablo, Darksiders, Devil May Cry, and many, many more.
Personally, I think Lilith has an interesting story, regardless of how confusing and stitched together the original references may be. Whether you see it as a fall from grace or a rebellious uprising, it's a very universal concept, which is why I think it's referenced so often today. It may also have something to do with the occult and modern fantasy going hand in hand. Let me know what you think about her story, and whether you noticed how often she appears today. If you have enjoyed the artwork and animations for this video, they were created by the very talented Nando Teresa, who also made the Medusa artwork and animations. So if you'd like to check her work out, there'll be a link to her YouTube channel and other socials in the description of this video.
Well, we've gone through three different presentations on Olivia's. Some of the statements, in fact, statements made by all three are somewhat intermingled in the different presentations. At some particular time, they do mention similar kinds of statements. One thing is for sure, they all three do mention the fact that she was the first wife of Adam. When God created Adam, he also created a woman out of dust, and she was separate. It wasn't Eve. It was created by the bone or the ribs of Adam while Adam was asleep. Therefore, who was this other woman? Based on what I've been hearing and the research that is done, it was Lilith. However, she was a forerunner of what we have in terms of women today. One to be the dominant factor as opposed to being subservient. Therefore, and don't get me wrong, I'm not in agreement with subservient or dominant, but I'm just giving you an overview of what she was then and leaving the Garden of Eden on her own. Just took off, decided she had had enough. She had to go someplace. She had to meet with somebody. She had to have some way of surviving. And based on some of the things we hear that are taking place from the presentations that have been given, that she did have some children. However, they turned these children into demons, mainly because whoever she had a relationship with had to be demons themselves. I think I've read someplace else that she even had a relationship with Cain after he was... after he killed his brother and was pushed away from the location that Adam and Eve were living. So you have a pretty good understanding of what's going on here. And I'm not going to go any further with this. I'm not feeling up to par today. I'm in a little pain. I had some operation, and I'm just trying to get over it. But I did not want to miss the opportunity of providing you some information that bothered me when I was a child, bothered me again when I came an adult, and it's still bothering me today now that I'm an older person. This has been Getting It Done, and I have been your host, Dr. Walt Dean, and hopefully next week, or should I say on Monday, you'll have an opportunity to hear some more tales, some true, some understood, some misunderstood, and hopefully enjoy today's show. See you again. Take care. It's a shortened show today. Thank you. Bye-bye.